Hello, this is Mike Harbath, and welcome to another Shoot the Moon podcast. I'm president and CEO of Revenue Rocket. Revenue Rocket is a premier M&A and growth strategy advisor for IT services companies worldwide. With me today is my partner, Ryan Barnett. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on the call here today. Today, we're talking about something near and dear to my heart, which is the marketing process. So in the role here at Revenue Rocket, I get to play as the marketing lead here and try to help build as much demand as we can for our mandates. But what we want to talk today is if you're considering a sale or even considering a buy company, your general marketing is something that needs to be evaluated. It's one of the first things that buyers or sellers are going to check out, and it's something that you need to spend some time on. So before you go forward to the process, you have to go really take a look at what you've got out there. So today what we want to kind of walk through are what are some critical parts of marketing your company and really the industry that you're in, kind of looking at marketing your products and your solutions, and we really want to talk to why it matters during the M&A process and walk through what we do as advisors to help companies get ready. So, Mike, I'll just pass it over to you to kind of start is when you're thinking about marketing your company just would love to give a general thought, what are some important things that someone should start to consider? And if they are to take anything away from this podcast, where should they start with?
Well, first I make the general statement that, you know, most IT services companies don't do a very good job of marketing, frankly. They tend to put up a website that talks in more vague generalities and specifics. And, you know, websites need to be much more specific about how you do what you do and ultimately who you do it for. And it should be pretty targeted. And I think that, you know, when a client visits your website, they need to, you know, feel good about who they're considering working with, right? They have to kind of look for consistent branding and visual appeal on the website. And certainly have a clear understanding that website really needs to talk to them specifically as a buyer or as a potential partner or as an M&A, target if you're acquiring a company, or as a, you know, if you're selling your business. It needs to clearly articulate who you do, who you are, what you do, and who you do it for in a compelling way. And I think, being clear about that and understand that specificity is key and content is key, and it's very direct and pointed to a very specific audience will enhance your ability to do marketing. And not that marketing is just about your website, but certainly, it's the first face of what anyone would see coming to look at your company. What are your thoughts about that, Ryan?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because when you build a website, you're really trying to create demand for your customers. And that demand is oftentimes, from what we've seen, is focused on addressing the critical needs of what a buyer is facing in their day-to-day life. And ideally, if you're trying to sell your company, you want the buyer to understand who you're talking to and why, what problems are you solving. But the interesting part is sometimes that doesn't necessarily translate to exactly what you do or what's in your P&L. And there is a bit of a balance here on, I don't recommend you change, frankly, anything in your website if you're going through a sale of your company, unless you're trying to make it a better marketing material and show that you have marketing chops. But I would not transform your website to be more focused towards investors. You want this opportunity typically a process is going to be done outside of a public facing document, but you want to be very clear to what you're doing, what you're able to do, but keep it still focused on the customers and in what they're working on. But if we just focus on that website for a little bit, there are some critical things I think you have to have. One of them is just what you do, what do you sell, what do you specialize in, what vertical markets do you go after, and where you do work, just to kind of get a basic. And then the other part is leadership bias. So, and this really goes for buyers and sellers. Sellers want to understand where their buyers, about their buyers. They want to know if they, who they're working for. And there's a lot of credibility that needs to be established in the website. And if you have a website that's non-functioning or has outdated bios or outdated marketing materials, it can be a really bad result for a seller who's trying to look for a long-term exit. So just keep in mind the website that you have today is probably the most important brochure that you have, and it's going to be critical towards any kind of an M&A process.
Yeah, for sure. I think also it's important, you know, this is a bigger question about, you know, building credibility with customers, right? So oftentimes an M&A, someone who's looking to acquire you or maybe looking to sell to you, big driver for those and impetus for those deals is your effectiveness around sales and marketing, or I should say more accurately, marketing and sales. You know, the delivery, most IT services companies do a pretty good job at delivery. We haven't seen too many that are broken from a delivery perspective. If they were, it'd be hard to stay in business and make money. But many, many of them don't have optimized marketing and sales functions. And I think thinking about that even more broadly outside the context of an M&A deal, getting ahead of that, being able to, you know, optimize your marketing to really grow your business will help. Because if your business is up and to the right, so to speak, on a, from a looking at a graph perspective, meaning you're growing revenue and profitability, you become a very attractive target, whether you're trying, it gives you the capacity in many ways to do an acquisition if you're looking to buy, but it also gives you an opportunity to attract buyers if your desire is to ultimately sell at some point. People want to align themselves with winners and they want to see that in the results. And, you know, our experience has certainly been how you position your business and how you market and sell your business significantly contributes to your ability to attract net new greenfield customers. And, you know, that's how businesses grow in our industry. Certainly there's a lot of add-on sales and things that happen in the existing customer base, but we've seen very few companies thrive, and I use that word very specifically, thrive in their growth of revenue and profit by not attracting greenfield customers, by just selling to existing customers. They can grow and they can be healthy, but they can't really thrive. And so companies that facilitate M&A deals, whether they're be selling or buying, have to be thriving enterprises. And if they're thriving, they're typically doing, I think, a lot right with their marketing. And then that can ultimately translate to, you know, a well-marketed M&A process, whether you're looking to buy or whether you're looking to sell. We, you know, pride ourselves on being and thinking about marketing in a way that's pretty progressive here at Revenue Rocket. And when we come to look at a business and bring it to market, in particular in the case of a sell side, or even advise a client on the buy side, which is a lot of what we do at M&A, we want to make sure that that marketing maturity is there and that things are tuned up. And oftentimes we take some time to work on that. I don't know, Ryan, if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Absolutely. I think the one critical part, and you nailed it, Mike, is you're going to get an uptick in your valuation if you have strong marketing, because that strong marketing ultimately leads to stronger sales, and that ultimately leads to stronger growth rates, which becomes an additive part to a multiplier. So even though it's a cost on the P&L and it may hit expenses, the return rate on sales is there. And because marketing is so rare in really good marketing in IT services companies, when someone does have it, it's a huge showcase and has been a massive indication. We've got a company right now that's under LOI. They had built out a marketing function. They had built content. They had built case studies. They had built videos. They had built methodologies for getting content into the customer's hands. And they saw growth rates that matched that, and that became such a critical point in the sale process that they were much easier to bring the A, bring in the market, but B, find a suitor very quickly because they're marketing material so well. On the flip side, if you don't have material there and your website needs updates and you need to maybe you just don't look as big as you are, your credibility can be hurt. And this actually hits almost on the buy side more. If you have let's say you're a company that's, let's say, under $10 million in revenue. If you look like you're under $10 million in revenue, someone who's trying to sell their company to you, it's really hard to get that across. They're going to have all sorts of questions of, are you big enough to buy me? Where you can get funding? Where is have you done a transaction before? How can you actually execute on that? So it's really important on both the buy side and sell side to get your act together, be clean, be persistent, just have a way that credibility is gained. So really important. The other part, and Mike, you're really kind of you've been the advocate of this, but when we talk about target market strategy and go-to-market strategies, we often put it through the lens of SVP. Mike, can you just tell me what's SVP, and can people in an M&A process, can they utilize that to help sell their business?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question, Ryan. You know, SVP is, if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know, or someone who's visited our website knows, stands for specialized, verticalized, and productized. And within our world, you know, specialized is all about specializing and being excellent in the technology that you focus on. So, you know, most IT services companies have a pretty good handle on that, frankly. They tend to, I think the days of doing everything technologically for everyone are kind of gone. And most firms have at least said, hey, we're going to specialize in, you know, manage infrastructure managed services, or, you know, custom software development, or, you know, application implementation, or, you know, maybe implementing or building a SaaS solution or something like that. They're specialized in their technology, but still, as of today, very few firms are actually focused on a vertical market. We think that is an exceptionally powerful thing to do. We see firms that focus on vertical markets wildly outperform those that don't. Now, there's typically a lot of fear associated with that, like, hey, what if, you know, we focus on a vertical that fails? Or what if we focus on a vertical and some other potential client comes to us outside of the vertical? Can we help them? And the short answer is certainly you can help them if they have a need within your specialization. But what verticalization allows you to do is to speak to very specific types of customers and market in a way that you can't as someone that focuses even on multiple verticals, or even on as more of a generalist or geographic generalist. Very, very hard to market your specialization only effectively. You have to have that intersection of specialization and verticalization, in my opinion, to be very effective at marketing. And then productization really is about, you know, building standards and, you know, a standard set of delivery, a standard set of offerings, and in some case, even technical IP that you can deploy against that intersection of specialization and verticalization. And so this is always an active debate we have with the marketplace and individual customers. We just know, because we've worked with, you know, hundreds of customers in over 30 countries, that the ones that focus on both specialization, or all three things, specialization, verticalization, and productization, from a revenue growth and profit growth perspective, wildly outperform the ones that don't.
And I think, Mike, one of the critical parts on how this relates to the podcast is that if you focus on a vertical market and you know what you're doing and you have intellectual property deployed towards that market, that's another uptick in valuation. So, and it may be that you're not doing anything special, different on the back end other than saying, I work for a vertical industry. For example, we've advised a client on both M&A and strategy that heavily targeted law firms. Well, what they've been able to do is buy other companies targeting law firms. They've been able to expand from just kind of traditional MSB work to more marketing work, and they've been able to help build their brand. So it helps them on an M&A front because two people get together and they all talk about legal. It can really kind of move things forward very quickly. And it's there's something kind of magical when you find alignment in vertical markets, products, and that really fits when we start to evaluate companies on culture, strategic fit, and financial fit. That strategy just kind of skyrockets and it becomes something that can be really, really, really powerful.
I think the other thing it does, let me make another comment on that, Ryan. It also removes a lot of the, you know, chaff in an M&A process, right? Because if you're very targeted, you're not going to have every private equity firm and every buyer in North America looking for your technical specification calling you about wanting to acquire you. You're going to only have the firms that have a real strong 1+1=3 based on your vertical specialization. It just removes a lot of noise. It removes a lot of noise not only in your own sales and marketing motions and how you go to market and how you grow and manage the business, but it also removes a lot of noise in the market about vendors contacting you, M&A, you know, opportunities, just all the other things that are in your orbit. Because generally any outreach or calls or opportunities that get presented to you, will be in your target market, and you can be, you know, very, very, very skilled and very, very aligned to, take advantage of many of those opportunities in a way that you probably can't if you don't have that alignment around the vertical market.
Yeah, I totally agree, Mike. We'd love to just kind of get your thoughts on, you know, when we think about readiness and taking someone to market, one of the parts that we take a look at is, yeah, are the market materials there? So we look for things on like brand consistency on your digital assets. So are your websites matching up your social, which matching up with your brochures or other material? We're looking for kind of that perfect about us statement. We're looking for consistent messaging and value statements that are about you and your company across sales material. We're looking for kind of clean, easy to use websites. Those are all kind of critical parts. Mike, and I'll bring a loop in here. When we think about us as advisors and in this scenario in which we're helping represent someone for sale, you know, it's a tricky balance. What we need is we create a one-page summary, and sellers don't want to be known. So that's one thing that's a sale process is a very kind of private thing. We don't want our sellers to be identified. So you certainly don't want to put something on your website. Hey, we're for sale. It's just not how M&A works, and it's not great for customers. It's not great for employees, and it's not great for partners. So you have to rely on, it's often easier to rely on an advisor who could help put together a summary material. This is something typically done pre-NDA. It's like a one-page type summary that outlines what you do. And then from there, an advisor will typically put forward a confidential information memorandum, which will be done, well, typically viewed after a NDA is in place. We spend a lot of time generating those, what we call SIMs and summaries, to make sure that companies are represented in the best way. Mike, I guess I'd love to get your opinion on, you know, how should companies evaluate advisors when it comes to marketing, and marketing their mandates?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ryan. I think it's important to evaluate effectiveness and close rates. That is a quick and dirty, hey, how many of the clients you bring to market actually get a successful deal done, right? And in our case, it's well north of 90%. Most of the industry is about 50%. I think that is an example of a quick measure that you can look at. But much more importantly on marketing, You want to look at the quality of the marketing content and understand, is this a way that I would like to see my business represented to the market? I think there's certainly nothing to, not to take away anything from the generalists that do M&A, but, you know, their understanding of your business as an IT services business isn't the same as someone who's focused on the market. Certainly, there's great peers of Revenue Rocket that focus only on tech and tech services, and I believe that group, albeit a very small and short list of companies that do an effective job in North America, do a good job collectively because we understand the nuance of IT services and how to best position and market your firm so that we can get a transaction done, and much more importantly, have the tribal knowledge of the buyers that are real and versus the ones that are tire kickers, and they go through a process. So I think there's a couple measures, Ryan, to kind of to provide a summary. One is the quality of the marketing and the efficacy of the outreach. It's very difficult, I think, to be successful in selecting a sell-side broker if they don't do a multi-pronged marketing and outreach approach that includes getting on the phone and talking to potential buyers. A lot of M&A brokers don't do that. They rely on email. They rely on posting mandates online and don't do outreach. Don't do meaningful outreach. And I think that is a mistake. I think targeted outreach has to be part of the formula. And I would only evaluate firms that do that and do that expertly. I'm proud of the team that we built here in outreach. They're the best in the business. And I think it's evidenced in our results. It's part of why our close ratios are higher than the, you know, industry average. And I think if you look at the entire workflow process from beginning to end, you need to understand, you know, is this a full service firm? Is this someone that can help me understand my valuation? Is this a person that can put together quality marketing materials? Is this a person that does proactive outreach and marketing on behalf? Is this someone who has the chops to negotiate a deal based on their experience in a business like mine? And how successful are they overall in getting deals done? I think if you look at all those things, you'll make the right decision and pick the right firm.
Yeah, and we're here to help. You know, we've executed marketing campaigns for mandates. That's our daily bread and butter. And sometimes we need to step in to help clients as well, whether it's effective presentations, whether it's sometimes it's a cleanup of a logo or a website. We've certainly stepped in to help out. We're different in that part of our secret sauce is that is helping companies implement that SVP method. So we help companies find their specialty and define it. And we help people find their vertical markets they can target and help productize their offerings. And when that kind of comes together, it becomes something a little bit more than 1 + 1 = 2. It's something that can help. We can not only help a strategy, but also help find your forever home or help you buy other companies that fit that strategy. With that, Mike, I'll turn it over to you for any closing comments.
Great. I appreciate the time, Ryan, and for this week's podcast. I encourage everyone to tune in next week when we'll be covering more sort of interesting and relevant topics as it relates to growing and or doing an M&A transaction in your IT services business. So with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it. Feel free to learn more about us at RevenueRocket.com, and I look forward to your tuning in next week. Take care and make it a great week.